First John chapter 2. Chapter 1, what a great chapter that was. The importance of walking in the light, the importance of confession in our Christian lives. And tonight we're just reminded that we have Jesus Christ as our advocate. If it wasn't for that, we'd be in serious trouble. Notice in verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So I've entitled the message, If Any Man Sin. Let's pray. Lord, bless Your Word tonight as we open it and share it together. Lord, we just want to be touched by it and its power. Thank You for the privilege to be here. May You be glorified in this service. We give it to You and love You in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's perfect will is that we don't sin. He says, I write these things that you sin not. God's Word helps us to avoid sin. And John is saying, I'm writing these things unto you to help you, walk the Christian life. God never gives us a license to sin. Go to Romans chapter 6 and we'll see this. He acknowledges that we do sin, but he never gives us a license to sin. Again, the people who don't believe in eternal security accuse people who do of saying that's just giving Christians a license to sin. We don't have that. And God doesn't want us to sin. It's not His will that we sin. Notice Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. This is Paul defending the standing that we have in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, because we have so much in Christ, because we're dead to sin, because we've been crucified, because we are in Christ and we have a new life and we're justified, does that mean God says we should sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not God's will. God's will is that we don't. Notice on down to verse 15 of Romans 6, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. God forbid. So no, God does not give us a license to sin. And as John's writing here, he says, God's will is that you sin not. He says, I'm writing these things to help you as God's children to not sin. Remember in 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, be ye holy, even as our Father which is in heaven is holy. And so that's God's will. But then he goes on to, again, we're moving from the perfect and the doctrinal to the experiential, just like we're going to see over and over in this book. He says on in that verse 1, and if any man sin, so God's perfect will is don't sin. But if any man sin, and that of course takes us back to 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he's saying, if any man sin, we have Jesus as our advocate and as the propitiation. So first he says we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. He is the intermediary. He intercedes for us. He is our high priest. The Bible says in Romans 8:34, he maketh intercession for us. If you go to Ephesians 2, the Bible says that he made peace with God on our behalf. Ephesians chapter 2, which we looked at a few months ago, down in verse 13, the Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So you see what he's saying. Jesus Christ broke down the wall of sin, the enmity. Jesus Christ has made peace. He is our intermediary before God. And as we read in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we have a responsibility as God's children that when we do sin, to go to our mediator. And that's 1 John 1:9. Confess. Who are we confessing to? We're confessing to our high priest, Jesus Christ. He's our advocate. He is the righteous, as it says there in verse 1. So, if any man sin, now it's not God's will that we sin. God doesn't want us to sin, but if we do, praise God, we have an advocate, our high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's Jesus, Hebrews 7:25. So not only is He our advocate, but it says in verse 2, it says, and He is the propitiation. Now that's a big word. But it's not complicated. It means satisfaction or appeasement. It can also mean like covering, but it primarily means satisfaction. God is satisfied with what Jesus did on our behalf. So He is the propitiation for our sins. The Bible says in Romans 3:25, God hath set Him forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. So what it's saying is that only the substitutionary death and shed blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to satisfy God's holy demands. So He is the satisfaction of what God demanded for sin, which was the death of a perfect man. And of course, the resurrection as well. That's why nothing else can get us to heaven. Nothing else satisfies God's holy demands. But Jesus Christ is that propitiation, that satisfaction of what God demands for sin. Go to Hebrews 9, and we'll be reminded about this, that it takes blood, but not just any blood, the blood of Jesus. So notice Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered Him once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Animal blood doesn't do it, as we read. It takes the blood of Jesus to satisfy God's demands. Only the blood of Jesus. And that satisfies God, which then reconciles us to God, as we saw on Sunday. We're reconciled because Jesus Christ satisfies God's holy demands for sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate that we can go to and say, I'm sorry, and confess. If any man sin, we as Christians, our sins have already been covered by the blood. Those sins cannot lead us to hell. We cannot be condemned again. Go to John chapter 5, verse 24. Many verses we could look at on this. This is a good one because it's simple. I like to show this to new believers because it tells us we can't be condemned again. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ's payment propitiated God. Notice John 5:24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, look at the last part, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. That's an important phrase. It means we can never again be condemned for our sin. Praise God. Because if we could, we'd be in trouble. You know, people who believe you can lose your salvation, the bottom line is everybody's going to lose your salvation. If you believe that. Because we're all going to sin. We're all going to fail. None of us is going to live the Christian life the way we should. So if the devil can trick any Christian into losing his salvation, he can trick all of them into it. And then it says in verse 2 of our passage, also for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that a great passage? That when Jesus died for sin, He died for everyone. His blood, His sacrifice, was the satisfaction of God's demands, not just for us, but for every single human being that's ever lived and ever will live. And that's why we hear that word so often in the Gospels, the word whosoever. Right? John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever anybody can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, in Revelation 22:17. Jesus Christ, when He paid for sin, He paid for the sins of the whole world. That is beautiful. Go to 1 John chapter 2. And just want, or first, sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're in 1 John chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 4 and 5 and 6 of 1 Timothy 2. And again, we're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is not only our advocate and the propitiation for our sins, but also for the whole world. Notice verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. That's important. A ransom for all. And then embedded in between those two, you know, verse 4 says God wants everybody saved. Verse 6, Jesus was a ransom for all. And then verse 5 is the verse about Jesus being our mediator. He's the mediator for every single believer, but He died for every single person. How exciting is that? So as John said, I wrote these things unto you, my little children, that you sin not. And we're going to see as we walk through this book, that's God's perfect will. He doesn't want us to sin. He's going to be writing to the young men. He's going to be writing to the older men. He's going to be writing, referring to us a lot of times as little children. But He doesn't want us to sin. He says, if any man sin, and of course He just gave us that very important passage in chapter 1, confess, we have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ. We have a mediator that we can go to on our behalf. And when the devil tries to accuse us like he did Job, Jesus just says, no. Here's the prints in the nails of my hand. My blood was shed for that one. No accusations. He's our mediator. And He is performing that office as we speak. Has been for 2,000 years. Standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. He is that advocate, that intermediary, the mediator on our behalf. And praise God, when He died, His shed blood, His death was the satisfaction, the propitiation for all of God's demands for man's sin. Not just for us, but for the, as it says, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we can tell everybody, nobody has sinned too much. Nobody's too wicked. He died for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. Let's pray.